This episode of the Bayou Dragons podcast is proudly brought to you by Dragon Industrial Wrap.
Fearless. Ready for any project, no matter how big or how small. Dragon Industrial Wrap.
Raw from that fucking coot laying on the front of the table.
And we're live. Episode something. Episode 58, I believe, of the Bayou Dragons podcast.
Verifying me, that.
You're live right from now. Jenkins Farm. Jenkins Shop.
Jenkins Shop.
Got a bunch of broke down shit in the background.
Yeah, we have a. This is the most rustic scenery that we've had behind us.
They actually work.
Yeah, yeah. They actually that
we just
one,
moved. We just moved that mower right there a little while ago.
Yeah, so we just did a fantastic hunt
at on the a new blind on the farm.
The Taj Mahal.
Out of four man in about 2 hours.
If you're listening, rain. If you're listening to the show, welcome in. You need to jump on to youtube.com/Bayou Dragons if you want to have a peek, watch the stream, watch the video. We took you guys through a little bit of the blind to start the episode off. We got some clips from that. So go over there and check that out, and you'll be able to see this beautiful setup that we've got today. So
Porter yeah. looked like he had fun.
I had a great time.
Good breakfast.
There you go. Oh, yeah, no. I was going to talk about the whole experience, and then we'll plug some GoPro footage of hopefully some birds falling.
I hope that worked out really well.
It, yeah, I would look at the preview on the GoPro just randomly.
There also was a group of about 12 teal that came right at the GoPro, and I'm not positive we got more than one out of that group.
There's a good chance, but I'm hoping that was it was pouring ass rain today.
That's not what it's about.
That's really not what it's about.
It's not what
it's
about.
You know what it is about? It's about the Mets, baby.
Love the Mets.
Love the Mets.
Yeah, hit a home run, Mets.
So the idea this morning was that we take you guys into the blind with us. We do a podcast, have a couple different angles so you can see what we're doing in the blind. Just kind of have some, you know, let you guys in on the fun, do some blind chatter, you know, for those of y'all that don't get to waterfowl hunt, kind of show y'all what it's about and the stuff we talk about and all the...
Show you how that animator works.
Yeah, that animator. We'll get to that. I got a hell of a story about that animator today. But the way things played out, we had everything in there with us. We had everything set up, but it just started pouring rain. So we did the best we could.
Got 6 inches overnight.
Yeah, we went ahead and scrapped the podcast for the hunt.
Shit, this is 8 inches.
100% it is.
Yeah.
Bit of a follow up here. We're post game. This is the post game presser. We finished out, had a hell of a morning. So, welcome in.
Yeah. So, before we get into it, today's guest, dear friend of ours, 2021 Young Farmer of the Year, just a all around good old boy. He's a rancher, local farming legend, Justin Jenkins.
Ex rice farmer.
Right.
Hung up the hat right after the win.
Yeah, well,
just retired.
Yeah, well,
after out on top.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Some of the greats should have, you know, and they didn't, and they lingered. Yeah. Elijah,
you'll end up, you'll end
went
up
to the people, Raptors.
People
no
call
good
you
reason.
Washed. They'll say you're washed. He should have left while he was on top.
And I went out.
You went out, and then top. You. Now you're just doing the hay and everything.
I'm retired.
Like you're retired.
I don't do anything.
It was like
anymore.
Vikings Brett Favre. Should have just left with the Packers when he was up there.
But Justin has had this idea since we started the podcast. He's been wanting us to do it. And, of course, Mother Nature didn't let us actually be recording the podcast. And while we're talking shooting birds, the whole 9 yards, but 6 inches yesterday, and it rained all morning, just was not ideal for the situation we got.
Yeah. So, but
Big
we're putting
J.
y'all on notice. It's coming. It's got everything. We had it all set up this morning. It's coming. We're going to do the blind podcast, and it's going to be awesome.
And yeah, this is no bullshit blind we're talking. We're talking 8 people easily, a back door, a front door.
You're going to have people changing out.
Yeah, you have people changing out. You have a griddle in there, Blackstone griddle. You have a pit in there. You have just everything, honestly.
Gonna have a TV eventually. We're doing full solar panels. It's a work in progress. Wait for the next couple years.
Yeah, no, it's
Jackery ain't got shit on this.
Ooh, this segment was brought to you by Jackery.
Jackery, that's the
was
power.
Gonna power.
Yeah, it's gonna be the power.
My first impression this morning going into that blind was you don't see a lot of those blinds in Southeast Texas.
No doubt.
You see a lot of skid blinds. A lot of the stuff that people hunt and guide on is leased. So you see a lot of skid blinds, see a lot of pits, stuff that is meant to be removed after season.
And we built it down on the backside in a ditch, but it's actually the high that drains two different directions. So it's tucked in, so it's low profile, fits right along like the fence line. There's barbed wire fence with trees, and so you can't. The birds were right in our face.
And thanks to that barbed wire fence, I will have to buy a new pair of frog togs. But yeah, all together successful, man.
Yeah, it started off. I mean, as soon as the sun came up, that shooting up north started happening, and they just started doing it.
There was something cutting on us really good.
There were some real good.
The weird thing about that is I felt like the big ducks did it way dirtier than
they
teal.
They did.
They did.
But then we have that one group of teal that come in and act like big ducks right towards the end, you know, kind of at a glance.
Well, because they had that one pintail with them.
Yeah, that was literally that was funky.
Literally, they were a mile high and spiraled in like a group of pintail. We thought they were a group of pintail and then realized it's 20 teal in one pintail.
Well, because you're doing like this, you realize it right there, and everybody's looking at them kind of like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Behind the netting.
But that damn netting got me twice today.
Yeah.
I mean, man. Gotta love it, gotta have it for gotta a little, it, for some cover, but you gotta rip up.
It's amazing what a few square bales will do, too, for your blind. You just kind of just throw it
And if you're looking for square bales for your blind.
And time to plug that, huh?
Come on over to Jenkins Farm. Boy, do we got
them
you.
Piled up.
This podcast is brought to you by Jenkins Farm Square Bale. Hey, the best grass in the biz.
For your duck blind at
squares,
this moment.
These squarest no bales are fine. Yeah. This side of the Mason-Dixon. But no, the funniest, the biggest testament, I think, to the concealment of the blind was the fact that Porter was wearing a reflective vest.
Yes.
He had an FR reflective raincoat that he brought from work. And he's wearing, I mean, it's straight up, you see guys on the railroad wearing this thing, you know, so they don't get hit by a train. And he was just, ducks didn't even see him.
No, it was, it kept me dry enough and, you know, I really, it is because we were so hidden. I mean, literally, we were so hidden yesterday when we went to go set everything up for this podcast. I drove past it. Like, no shit, Rance goes, it's back there. Broad daylight.
Big daylight.
This thing is pretty concealed, bro. It has a license to carry. And I figured we might as well give the ducks a fighting chance. So I wore a reflective vest.
Sure.
And that's red, and red, white, and blue shorts. So
it was almost like it was his, like a fantasy punishment outfit. You know, like, oh, you got to go duck hunting a reflective vest. Well, joke's on you. I got the best fucking blind in Southeast Texas.
Yeah. The water definitely did help. The rain did help it. Like, I was not skeptical yesterday, but I was like, man, that's just like real far out there, you know?
For anybody not listening, like, that not in Southeast Texas, we got a shitload of rain overnight from a cold front
that we didn't
get the cold, though. We didn't get the cold. We just got all of the rain. It is literally, I know I'm wearing this jacket right now.
Yo, no.
But yeah, it is 75 degrees out
all
here.
All day long at 75.
And I really think that helped the birds, though. That's all I'm going to say. You know what I'm saying? I think that front coming down
made like a
pushed. Because there hasn't been that as many birds as was shot this morning.
Yeah.
The farm has not been indicative of that in the last week.
Sure.
We were holding probably 5,000 birds, and then that was...
And I don't know if anybody else has bald eagle problems.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
My Lord.
Yeah.
Are they the actual, like the caracaras or bald eagles?
Bald eagles. No, we have one. It's a big, big, beautiful monster of a bird, and he stands on the power lines. There's a power line, a major power line that runs from... Honestly, I don't even know where. I guess Winnie to that direction.
Timbuktu.
Sure. I've never traveled it. They just stand on top of it, and the birds just stay stirred and stay stirred. When we get geese here, they'll just swarm the geese. They'll go kill 3, 4, 5 of them, let, like, all of them lay but one, go eat one of them.
Yeah, dude.
And all the geese will leave.
They, while watching those eagles, we have a bunch of them up the lake on Toledo, and they will get those coot.
Yeah.
In piles,
stir them.
And they'll stir them. And what they do is, when they have those juveniles with them, they train them. And like, if they get one, then it's like a whole deal. They like fly over the flock, drop a dead one, and then the juvenile goes in and tries to catch it. You know,
absolutely. And there was a juvenile at one point. There was a pair. And as far as I know, one of the other pair died down on 1985, like 2 years ago. And it's been this single bird that's been back. But for my entire childhood, we didn't have bald eagles. There wasn't a bald eagle here.
Well, you know why they're coming back?
America.
Yeah. Thank you, Donald.
Yeah.
Make bald eagles great again.
Well, whatever we have to do.
Yeah.
I would imagine that
they're really screwing the ducks up.
Though. They really do. They're not fun.
Size could come and pick my little dog up. And
they're big. That's such a big bird.
It's crazy because you never really see them up close.
So while we're on that subject, the other thing that we see here more and more and more is the damn cranes. Sandhill cranes. We didn't have cranes here for forever, and now more and more and more and more and more every year.
And we can't
shoot them. We can't do a damn thing about it. But
if you travel over towards like the China area, we see them pretty regular over
and
there.
And they have been. That's where they really started I guess, coming to. And now they've grown, reached out to. More and more every year.
We're one of like very few counties in the state of Texas that can't shoot a sandhill.
It goes to the other side of Katy. And then there's a large gap, I believe, that goes and picks back up so you can hunt them between Katy and, like, Corpus Christi. And then from that point farther south, there's another big zone where you can't touch them.
Yeah.
But there is a gap there. I don't know. I might be speaking out of turn. You know, I think it's a breeding ground. Is it a breeding ground or is it the whooping crane presence?
I believe they
cross over the whooping cranes from what I've been told.
Oh, okay.
If you can't tell the difference between a real big white bird and a real big gray bird, you ought not be hunting. But that's neither here nor there.
Massive,
but I will say, well bigger.
And I've
it's
known
redhead,
like wildlife, refuges and stuff. If there is a whooping crane sighted somewhere, they'll shut the whole damn place down.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming in here to hunt.
And we've had a couple. There've been a couple over the course of time. That was here a couple years ago. We had three, and I hadn't seen them in a while. But I mean, it did. Yeah.
But it's crazy.
Brad.
Yeah, B-Rad.
B-Rad.
It's crazy the amount, like, when those birds were here, it's crazy the amount of people that were like, stop. I remember they were in these fields right here, this first field one time, and there was like literally six or seven people stopped out on 1663, like, watching those birds. It's crazy, like, how
I do believe
people, you know.
I do believe that that was part of the reason that they got the fella out here that shot one, because they have a following. They're able to be tracked, right? Mm-hmm. And so we get a large influx of bird watchers in Southeast Texas, in Anahuac, because we have a big abundance of migratory birds that come through this area.
From what I was told, that Chambers County is the second, like, most diverse population of migratory birds behind Brazoria County just on the other side of, Galveston. Yeah,
so there's right a ton of eyes on the birds in general out here, and then whooping cranes being endangered, and also, like I said, being able to be tracked.
And I'm good with all that. It's just, I mean, at some point in time, maybe if you get way too much of a population, you might have to do something about it. But
yeah, no doubt.
Sandhills.
Sandhills. Yeah, dude. I mean,
eventually.
They might not.
You never know.
They're wising up. If you go farther north, they're getting. And I don't know if it was just maybe a little bit of a rough patch for us, but they were just so hard to hunt, man. They're smart. They're old. They live for a long, long time. And, you know, they're starting to see more and more people hunt for them. And it's just like it was when you talk to the guys that have been hunting for 40 years, and they say, man, we used to shoot so many more ducks. They used to do it so much harder, and they were a lot easier to go out and hunt. You know, we'd hunt them over this and that and the other and just smash them, right?
Well,
cranes are getting to be more of a hunted bird, the sandhills. And they're just.
I did a fun sandhill hunt last year where tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
Were brushed up against the fence line.
That's how we grabbed.
We were buried in there. They could not see a thing. It was too cool.
A bunch of those guides, though, were just saying that they're like one of the first birds to kind of get wiser to the silhouette game. Because, like, Dive Bomb has that shit on lock, but, like, you can still kill mallards and Canadas and shit over silhouettes pretty easily, but like the sandhills are starting to become a little bit wiser, so they throw out some full bodies out there with them. It's just, I mean, I don't know how much they are, never priced to, because we can't hunt them, so I wouldn't buy any sandhill crane, but I imagine they probably sell them by the threes.
You know how much a box of condoms used to cost back then?
Last year on the sandhill hunt we went, they used almost all, like, probably 80% full bodies.
Birds are dumb, but they're not dumb.
I remember they had like this sock tight, but they were like 3D plastic.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They weren't like full bodies, but they were like,
that's what we used
way more defined. And it was crazy, like setting up the A-frame on a fence line and then just putting a bunch of
pile of tumbleweed on it,
just sitting there. I thought that was the wildest
thing.
Just
walk down 100 yards and grab as much as you can and come back.
So we would go the night before and we would drive all up and down the red dirt roads and just grab tumbleweed off the side of the road.
So different from down here.
Full. Yeah. And the first thing we did, we dropped the door and just roll tumbleweed out the back, pile it up, then go set the bind and just dump it on.
And that's I've done multiple humps up north. Like one year, it was tumbleweed hunt. Everything we did, all our layout blinds, tumbleweed. The next year, it snowed the whole time, so all we did was just scoop snow up. The next year, we're hunting purely corn, so you're taking corn stalks. Yeah. I got in our trailer, there's still leftover tumbleweed and corn from like 3 years ago, you know, just
it's wild too, because like going off of what that it's the dynamic of the region changed, the industry in that area changed, you know, certain things came and went, and now there's no longer a big presence of certain crops in that area, so you have to change your hunting game because of that. It was just crazy how that affected everything.
And then down here we just,
it's gonna be wild to see what happens down here
now.
$14 rice. We'll see if the rice crop continues down here, or if our moist soil and just wetlands in general can continue. There wasn't rice here 250, 300 years ago, and those birds still migrated down here. So surely they're going to still come, but this rice industry is kind of crumbling around here.
Yeah.
I think your rice industry can kind of go away, like this for an example. But if your rice industry goes away and then that gets replaced with concrete, like Katy, for example,
which was the number one
snow goose flyway ever, you know, right there. Once they built malls and they did all that, you know, they started build warehouses all over that place.
Build a Buc-ee's.
Yeah. Because I remember even when the rice has stopped over there, there was still a bunch of geese until they built all that shit. Yep. You know what I mean? So I kind of look at
Amazon
that way. Yeah. Igloo.
Igloo.
Yeah.
Warehouse, Goya.
Warehouse. Yeah.
I know Andrew can rooms and to talk go all day about the Katy Prairie. He spent a lot of time out there. That's one of his favorite places. But
yeah.
No, it's amazing to see where we've come and where we're going. I mean, some good, some bad, but you know, hopefully for the sake of our hobbies and what we love to do, it continues to to thrive. And being in Southeast Texas all the way, you know, the whole rice belt, we got some of the best teal hunt in the world.
Yep. No doubt.
Just lights out. Tons of traffic through here, so.
I love it.
Yeah. No, we had a hell of a banger of a hunt. Oh, we also, so the birds, we're going to go ahead and put this on record. The birds were, they're fine. They weren't decoying this morning. I'm saying like just doing it straight up dirty, but then we broke out the secret weapon.
The secret weapon.
The secret
until it got snapped in half.
Oh, okay, so here it comes. So
by a duck.
Shout out, you guys, if you follow the show, you follow the Bayou Dragons, you've heard about the animator, right? Basically, the animator is an attachment that you can add to a spinning wing decoy that creates a water sound.
It did. It made a sound. You could
on the top of the water, uses a little plate. I can't remember. I don't know. George will know the word. He'll probably be in the comments. But it uses a little cavitation plate. There's the word. To kind of stir the water, you can either...
That lapping noise. Yeah, I mean, that lapping noise is real
sounds
realistic.
Sounds like wings on the water, and it's a natural sound, and that's kind of where they found their niche in that. They stumbled upon that, and they said, man, this works, right? It's been like a funny thing. It's been almost like a gimmicky thing that they've been trying to sell people on. The fact of the matter is, you hear it and you think, oh, it's just another gimmick. Well, it's not, right? It's just the first impression that you think of. Dude, I hunted over this thing, and I was like, I'm sold. Done. Like, called George. Love this thing. Today, I have another testament. I haven't even got to call George and tell him about it.
They were full bore landing.
So, we're sitting over two spinning wing mojos right now, and I've got the King Mallard mojo in the blind, and it was just one of those days where I wasn't quite sure if this is the day for it. It's raining, it's a little bit windy, and I'm not really knowing, is this going to work? Rance goes, man, we need something. They're passing by, they're right where we want them, but they're not quite finishing. We need something. Go throw that animator out there. I said, yes, sir, coach, put me in. Ran that sucker out there. We ran it, sucked all our birds in. I mean, it was stupid. They really started doing it real dirty after that. And it was a clear turning point. And it was is as good of a selling point as you could have.
Yeah, we probably gave it, 30 minutes at the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. So much to the point where we have one single gadwall come in, and he came so hard and heavy on that mojo with the animator on it that we shot the bird, and he was running mock Jesus into that damn spread, and on his way down, he
weighing 11 pounds.
He smokes the mojo, breaks it off.
Big ass gadwall.
Big dude over there on the side.
YouTube.com/BayouDragons for the visual.
Yeah.
This guy comes in.
Smoked
it. Gets shot and absolutely drills the mojo, knocking it complete, snapped it off the pole.
Broke it. Clean plastic break.
Rance looks to me and he says, man, did that thing just hit the mojo? I said, oh, shit, I don't know. And then I looked out there and I was like, where's the mojo? And I just see a little green head sticking up out of the water.
It's like between smoked them? The
like
mojo,
10
dude.
Feet. I'm not exaggerating.
Surely that's on
10
oh, the,
feet.
We had pulled the.
It was 10 feet away from the pole. The pole's sticking up. But a testament to mojo, I go out there. I left it sitting in the water for maybe 10, 15 minutes before we went back out there and ran the dog to go pick up birds. There was so much shit flying after that. But I pulled that mojo up out of the water and then wings started beating.
Yeah, the animator just slapping
animator
the shit.
Flinging all around, like going crazy, but that was badass. All right, I can't wait to hear George's reaction to me telling him that story.
Yep.
Yeah, because today solid. Was a very ducky day.
Oh, it was.
And
first day of weather through teal season,
yeah,
through duck
real.
Season to
dry.
This point.
We've never been
the first
in November
day of weather.
Shifting
yeah,
water
real.
Around.
The first day of real weather.
The most ducky day, and we still couldn't just get them to fully, you know, slip the ring on and say I do. But the animator, definitely, you know.
But coming back to that blind and the way that it's set up, you know, it's not like you said when you're traveling and you're able to go and set up an A-frame or layouts or whatever, you can't set up with the wind. You're
right.
You're in a
dedicated blind.
Yeah,
it's already built.
Blind.
Yeah.
It's there, and that's where it's going to stay.
So the wind was different. I mean, it's built for south wind, so the birds come into your face. They were wrapping around us all morning. We had some wicked shots. We had a bunch of whiffs that, like, not whiffs on shooting, like, that they came around like, oh man, there went 12.
Oh, you're having
it's
a
oh,
it's
man,
probably the number one hunt in a long time I've had that we got shit on that so many times, and it was just funny.
Shit on a good bit.
Yeah, we still shot our four-man limit.
And then how about
plus a coot
walking out, being done, Rance is going to get the truck. We're positive we have 24. I've already texted everybody, got our four-man, and we go to counting. And we only have 23. Rance turns around, comes walking back.
I'm out there in the spread, dog sniffing her ass off, trying to win something. I'm certain there's a bird.
Certain.
Here.
I was, too.
Yeah. I could tell that none of us were really good at math. Everybody counted, you know. Oh,
Anowak,
there's one more.
Anowak class of 2005,
and
baby.
Farming. We could talk the farming up all day long.
That's probably why I was bad at farming.
The mathematics.
Yeah. That's why.
There's something there.
Yeah, that's. But you went out on top still, regardless, so it doesn't matter if
there
was.
Shout out to Sam Houston State University, too.
Thank God for that Pythagorean theorem they taught us.
Yeah, A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
You bet.
Too bad I can't count to 24.
Yeah, Dad.
But we just waited it out. Justin whipped us up some fresh tacos.
I did. I brought the corn. I brought some big flour tortillas, never broke them out, because it's not right without corn tortillas.
Well, yeah, we had.
Corn really did it.
They're much better.
I'm talking, I had a full-blown breakfast. And then as soon as we hit that 24th bird, this podcast is sponsored by Twisted Tea. Started cracking those.
Please. We were successfully done with the hunt before we consumed alcohol.
We were 100% done. We made sure of it.
Responsibility is
yes.
Top of our list.
Don't be dumb.
I've got a 9-year-old that I'm trying to teach all of that stuff to, so I've got to actually be on my P's and Q's about it.
Yeah, I'm...
He's pretty malleable right
now. He's
pretty
flight risk.
he still swings that
pretty,
gun around like it's just a BB gun.
I do
want to
have
brother, come on.
I want to have Jack on. Like the next time we do when we successfully do the hunt podcast, I want Jack in there and just mic him up the whole time.
He's just going to talk the whole time. And also, he will, if there is a purple martin flying by, oh, no. Every single snipe, oh. Nope, it's just a snipe bud.
Oh, that's just the long beak teal. Goodness, it's an ibis.
Yeah, there are grown ass men.
Ibis. To this day. Yeah, there are. You're correct.
Well, that was like the first pack that came in this morning, but not because I can't identify birds, it's because I'm legally blind.
he took a giant bite into a hash tray
that came just in, and Justin's like, "We got him over the deal."
We just cut hard,
and beautiful. I said, "Nah, them are blackbirds."
Oh man, blackbirds! And I went, "What the fuck are you talking about? It's a group of teal."
It was sure enough teal.
Rick came right into it,
but Rance would be like, "What's that?" Don't take my word for it. I'm blind.
I'm blind.
Yeah. Look, let me repeat myself. I'm blind. But
barely.
POP.
Love you, mama.
On the die. We, successfully with a blind man.
Hey, also, he could shoot for a blind man. I'll tell you that. Yeah. For that, he made that one shot count every time.
There's a blind man, right? There's a blind man, right?
Blind man, right?
Walking through a fish market.
Wasn't it one group in, Rance had a shotgun malfunction. And
not one time. Rance shot a single shot. This is a shout out to Monarch Shells.
Shout out to Monarchs.
And it's got to be the Monarchs, right?
Yeah, he switched shells. Trash. He switched over to some Bassy or something, and it just went to work.
Absolute trash. Somebody
new
gave
shells.
Me,
somebody, new, clean,
hey,
pretty.
Somebody gave me those shells, and I'm going to tell you what. I think I'm going to go give them back to
you
them.
Should. Christmas is coming.
Fucking, yeah, and tell them, you don't care about me or my family. You gave me a fucking...
You wanted us to starve, didn't you?
Yeah, you wanted me to fucking starve to death.
You know, you really upset my brother.
Yeah.
Like, you really
upset
my brother.
Yeah, you did.
Brother.
He's upset.
He's still upset. He's still talking about it today.
And if it weren't for that coot, we would be starving to death.
Yeah. And y'all might, the people that are listening to this, and they're like, oh, dude, why do they have a pool do? Dude, don't knock it till you try it, dog. I'm telling you, the gizzard.
We're going to clean that thing live here in a minute.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to pull the gizzard square out of its chest.
We're
going to
show y'all what that meat looks like.
Stick around. These birds are getting clean live on the podcast. Oh, yeah. We're going to teach y'all how to do it right if you're not an avid duck hunter.
Do a couple pluckings, a couple breastings.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with some more here in just a minute.
Right. We're back. This is NPR.
Okay, guys, took a quick break. We're back now. Real quick, I wanted to give a shout-out to my buddy Jackson Hedrick for making me this nice little duck tote, man. Jackson, if you're watching, listening, really appreciate you, brother. Straps solid, as you can see, holding you a little stud Drake pintail and a couple teal and a spoonie. So spoonie was first. Feel like it's an honor.
It's a good bird.
It's an honor to have a spoonie on your strap. So, but, hey, guys, we're breaking into a little bit different section of the episode. We're going to have Mr. Keaton. And Mr. Brad, come on. Say again. Kelton. Keaton Kelton. Middle name, fucking. So Keaton, fucking, Kelton.
Something like that.
That's the way he
Kelton
signed his name
Graham,
on the blind.
Everybody. Kelton Graham.
Kelton Graham.
On Instagram, it's Kelton Graham.
And Brad Daniels are going to step in. They're going to tell you a little bit about the Jenkins farm and kind of
B-Rad
place.
Daniels here.
Hola.
This is my partner in this little partner of crime deal we've got going on out here at Jenkins Farm.
So, yeah, while they're doing that, while they're having a little chat, Porter and I are going to start cleaning some birds. So, if you're watching, youtube.com/BayouDragons, we'll show you how to break them down. Rance, you want to come get on the mic, brother?
Yeah. Kelton, grab your mic. I want to know how your hunt went this morning.
My hunt was really good.
Put that thing up near your mouth.
Really good.
Good.
How good was it?
Where were you at?
I was in the H blind.
So, we have, how many blinds we have on the farm right now?
Seven. We have seven blinds.
Cool deal. And they had four hunting up north this morning, north opener. Yep, we were on the south side, which was the anomaly of the whole farm. Never had a blind down there.
Turned out great, though.
Turned out great.
Awesome spot.
Yeah. Boy, I think Porter liked breakfast the best.
Plus, it pissed rain cook? 6 inches. And
we, I was going to cook all kinds of other stuff, but the blind was flooded from 6 inches of rain. So we had to change plans. All of the motherboard equipment and the mic. Equipment and all that shit was all floating in a Yeti bag in the back when we got there. Water was running over the road into the blind.
I got way more rain than I
did. Oh, it was dumb. It trained. It started at midnight and it just didn't stop.
5 inches, dude.
But golly, I think y'all got hit a little bit more than we did.
Oh, it was worth it.
It was worth it.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
It's fantastic. Yeah. We had
Brad hunted the way down south.
Yeah. We had six groups out this morning and everybody shot them.
Nice.
It was really good. It's hard to complain about things like that.
Yeah.
So especially this time of day.
With no weather.
Yeah. No
hot
weather. Yeah, 80 degrees.
We were sitting on the south side, and at one point we're like, Justin, I think, said, he's like, well, I guess it was worth sitting in a pit blind in the rain today.
Oh, yeah. We waited. It was like 15 minutes after shooting time before the first shots went
off. It was a while.
And the rain didn't help that, but we were like, man.
It was the overcast. I don't think they hear people.
Oh, big time.
Oh, man. I don't think they could see that well.
It was so bad down on the coast. It was crazy. I could barely hear anybody, and every time it lit up, then I'd hear rumbles. But it was ducks in the sky nonstop. A lot of big ducks. I've seen a lot of big ducks.
Lots of big ducks. The gray ducks were cool.
Y'all killed mainly teal.
We killed mainly teal.
But, I've seen a lot of gadwall. I was impressed because I haven't been seeing that many gray ducks. I've seen quite a few gray ducks. Pintails. Y'all see any bunch of pintail up here?
Not a bunch.
I know they're around. They didn't move this morning, though. Somebody got them.
Mostly gadwall and spoons were the big ducks.
This guy broke our animator.
Oh, he smashed it.
Broke it in half. Hit it.
No, hit the mojo. Animator goes on the wing,
on
paddle.
The mojo. Yeah. What's it called, the king mojo?
That duck smoked.
King mallard.
The mojo, like the mallard mojo, just smoked it and broke it off the pole, dude. Like, that's what we're talking about. That's a pretty good testament.
Oh, yeah.
Just sucking it really in.
Did they start flying better?
Yeah, absolutely.
As soon as it went away?
No. As soon as we put it out.
Oh, yeah.
We waited 30, 45 minutes to put it out. We put it out. It really, they started really
they
cupping and starting landing
start
right at it. They were
surprised.
Landing right at it, too. They're coming right at it.
Yeah, there's multiple we had to hold off.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Hell,
Porter smoked at least 6 decoys.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I had a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah. You get it on your bigger
It's so
hunts,
hard to knot in a pit when you're at water level.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a water level in a pit, it's really hard to knot, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're eye level.
Yeah.
Bring back plenty of sunken decoys out of that one.
Yeah, them things are getting expensive.
We were talking about if the rice market is going to hold together and whether or not birds will still come. But I think that the coast is going to bring birds regardless.
The rice is gone. Everybody needs to quit worrying about rice. Y'all need to worry about moist soil. Hear me. If you're listening to me, my name is Brad Daniels. And if you're on the Gulf Coast of Mexico, you need to go after moist soil. Flood fallow fields, disc it, turn it over. Moist soil is constantly producing invertebrates, different types of seed grasses, and it'll produce on the coast until January.
Yeah, the millet that grew in the last couple of years.
If you're not using it, because everybody's like, oh, Jenkins, yes, we have rice. Yes, we hunt rice. But we kill all of our ducks, and people don't realize and understand it until they hunt. We're hunting moist soil. We're shooting.
And it's weird how some of our blinds, our big stationary pit blinds, are in fields that we will go back and forth on rotation 3 years. So we'll be rice 1 year.
Correct.
And then fallow for two. And you can see a difference. Now that we've had them there established for some of these blinds, some of those big pits have been there 10 years now.
Ten.
We've seen several big shifts and seen what the difference is. Man, those moist soil years, especially at 148, the age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Crawfish hole.
Don't get me wrong. I would love
crawfish holes huntable again.
I would love for the rice. I would love for the rice market to come back. Don't get me wrong. It's still there. The browns just sitting there.
As I know, seventh generation rice farmer that's not farming rice anymore. I promise you, I'd love for the rice market to come back.
Exactly.
It's the only thing I know. I mean, it's my blood. But
we need to quit. Focusing on grain and start focusing on moist soil and just having places for birds to sit. And you don't hunt it. Most people don't do that.
Fence it and put cows on it.
That's it. Rotate it. Flood it. What's good for a duck is good for a cow.
What are they? They don't have much rice in Port O'Connor, do they? Plenty of ducks. Plenty of cows.
They got some rice down there.
There was no such thing as rice farm the way it is now, 75 years ago. You know, I mean, think about what these birds used to do here just on the habitat that was created here, just the natural habitats of these coastlines.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like I was saying earlier, I was like, and the development, which takes away moist soil, you know what I mean? Just is because I was basically saying Katie, even after the rice was gone, like I was telling them earlier, until they started building warehouses everywhere, it wasn't, the ducks were still there. The geese were still there,
yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And then once that happened, it was all gone. So it's just, it's really, that goes hand in hand with what you're saying of moist soil taking all that away really kills the habitat.
Really kills it. Really kills it.
Flights of Stuckey's on Kelton.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hard to beat.
Man.
You don't
they never had those 18
as long as the 18 wheelers still knock them down.
They'll knock every one of them back down.
But
I hope they do.
Not half of them.
Thank God.
It's been dark the last few years.
Thank God they made them take the sign down.
Oh, oh my God. That thing was so bright.
The Las Vegas sign was, oh my God.
You could see it from Anahuac, clear as day.
I just remember, I mean, that was when the sign first got there is whenever, you know, first really,
the reservoir didn't hold anything anymore.
No. And it was just, it was literally.
I shot it with the 223 like three times.
Oh, God.
Put that on record?
It's been out for a long time. I don't think it was the 223 that did it.
So what breakfast did you guys cook this morning?
Eggs and sausage. I was going to cook more, but we didn't have any room. I couldn't get the grill cover off because we had
room in that blind?
We had huge enemy things we brought.
Yeah, when you go to the Taj, you just bring your whole deal.
We brought a couple truckloads of things with us.
You might just stay there. It's so nice.
Yeah, hey, so they're over here plucking some birds. He has plucked all the feathers off of a teal and left a single wing on transport with birds. If you got like hunters in, we've got hunters in the farmhouse on the other side of this building right now, and those guys leave with birds. They got to have a wing on it for identification. You can have double bag limit, right? Daily double on possession. So if they leave three times, yeah. So when they leave tomorrow, they can take three times bag limit with them, but they got to have an identifier on it. Ooh, and gizzard. There's a gizzard. You split that thing, take a little bit of that blue skin off, and it is some of the most delectable meat. And then the little heart.
The heart.
Oh, the heart is so good. Like flavor flour. That you can't. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
A little
yep.
bit of flour.
Throw you in some flour.
Mmm.
You bet.
We going to bring those dogs back in the picture again or no?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Porter's doing good over here, too. He's having a problem with pin feathers, it looks like. Some of them just don't like to come out this time of year. What are you going to do with this big gray duck?
I don't know. I have some plans for it later. I also looked out on breaking wing bones, and half of them ain't even on there no more. Talk about webfoot a little bit.
Yeah, webfoot. Talk about webfoot a little bit. How long you been doing? How long?
10 years. Webfoot's 10 years now, right? 10 years?
But you and I have been out here doing this
since we've been for 27 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 27.
26. 26. I was 11.
27.
This might be 27. Yeah. Yeah, that might make sense.
Over 25.
Yep, absolutely over 25. We can come to an agreement there. Yeah, no doubt. We came out here. We had four-wheeler trails to each other's houses. We had Blake Turner with us, too. And, we had some ridiculous blinds back in the day, and I don't mean really because good. They were terrible. We had milk crates and T-posts and chicken wire, and we planted cane. We planted cane that is where our blinds are now, though, back 25 years ago.
The cane
is thick.
That's the 148.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it grows all over the place. We spread the world.
That's just like every other invasive species in Southeast Texas. Spread it around, brother.
Yeah, my wife's planted some shit around our pool.
Only you
can
spread invasive species.
I'm sure that shit's going to be growing all over Southeast Texas for long. I'm pretty sure my great-grandmother might have brought the tallow tree here because there's a tallow tree on the family land.
Give me a dry square, babe.
It's 112 feet fucking tall.
That's a grand champion.
Woo! We're going to cut that thing and count the rings one of these days.
Well, mine are wet.
It was a morning of wet.
Unless they're wet.
It was a morning of wet squares for sure.
Hey, Till just said, don't fucking move.
Because I told him all morning. I was like, don't y'all fucking move.
Fucking move, motherfucker.
Put your fucking face
don't
down.
Don't you fucking move. Ask Scotty. Scott. Well, God, I was like, damn. Don't you fucking. Poor Scott couldn't even shoot because I wouldn't let him move.
Look at the hit on that boy.
Brad and I'd bring people hunting back fucking 20 years ago, and those people would just look like nervous wrecks because Brad would just be, don't fucking move, don't look at them. And they didn't even know where their birds were.
Did they fucking shoot them, though? Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were in their face.
That's it.
That's the...
Get the fuck down.
You feel like you're being an asshole? They pull the trigger and they forget all about it.
Oh, that's true. Every time.
I'm not being an asshole. I just want to make sure we kill ducks because it's a lot of work and time.
You're being an asshole when you
Bill. That's no joke.
I might be an asshole.
Brad, what? And when did we start getting ready for this year?
Oh my God.
May, June. I mean,
yeah, every year, all year.
Yeah, no doubt. There's not much of a gap.
It's a full-time job, and you got to have a strong woman at home. I can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. And this, I was talking about how this is the.
You got to have a strong woman.
This was the. Mom was mad because I took a shower this morning. I guess I was a little too loud.
You don't have a shower at the other end of the house?
No, she put our shower right by our bed. That way, if I have the shower in the morning, she knows. We were talking about pushing water around in November, like how we'd never have to shuffle water around. Well, now, I mean, the open in the morning, we got a gusher, but.
It was crazy. We went from 100 inches of rain to no rain for 3.5 months, and it just, that high set on us and dried us out crazy.
Yep.
But luckily, we had what water we had, and now we have too much water.
It'll go away. It'll go away quick.
Oklahoma, they just finally got rain.
Did they?
They needed it. That's where we're going in December.
Were you going to Haskell?
Yeah, we're going to go to Haskell. Go shoot some specklebellies. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Ranger Creek. Yep.
Go. Ranger Creek. Give a little shout out to that Clovis Point group I went with last year in New Mexico. Colin, dude, was cool as could be. If anybody ever wants to go out to a place in New Mexico, they're like one of two outfitters out there, and they got birds. They got Canadians, mallards, cranes, good stuff.
We need to go do that, too.
Yeah, a quail everywhere. Ooh.
Beautiful.
Pretty.
Beautiful. Beautiful morning.
Pretty work, Matt.
Beautiful morning.
Branch, did you shoot you a duck this morning?
He had a single shot.
Or did you just sit there and.
So let me tell you.
Hey, brother.
So you weren't here for the first segment of the podcast. Let me tell you. I shot a few times, but I had somebody, and I was trying to remember who so I could motherfuck him by name. But it was somebody that gave me like 3 or 4 boxes of Monarchs.
Definitely wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
They
I know,
were not going through that 870.
They would not cycle through the old faithful.
All guns. Yeah, obviously the shell.
It was ripping the brass off of it. Like my ejector was like ripping the brass off of it. So I knew it wasn't like a problem with the ejector because it was trying to pull it out.
Clean shells.
So then he had just a box of Remingtons or something, you know.
I love that Benelli.
Core locked, and I
love it. Love it.
I put them in there, and it started cycling. Yeah, we had some good shoots. You know, I'm pretty blind. But
he can't see much.
I still make it happen.
I tell you what my dumb ass did the other night. I was drinking some
870, huh?
I was pumping on some Miller Lights.
Every time, man.
And I ended up buying some Fiocchi Gold.
It's a shame. I told him, I was like,
hey, that shit thumped this morning. It kills him dead.
What shot number?
Number 2s. Bismuth Fiocchi Gold, money.
Money.
I found a bunch of those 2-4 stack things just that I bought a long time ago. I don't know if they even sell
those
them anymore.
Those are good, too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, these are, what are those?
Are they stacking them, too, now?
What were those ones last year? The black boxes?
Migras.
Migras.
Yeah, Migras is good
stuff. I like Migras.
The 2-4s are money. Yeah, I like
shot white shells. And
the 2-4s are good.
That carbon fiber Benelli Super Vinci is money, buddy.
Yeah, it's a good shell. A good shotgun.
As long as I just shoot right at the duck, not try to be a dickhead and lead it by 3-4 inches for no good reason.
Just put it on that gun.
Watching, another little shout out, watching Ramsey Russell's shot pattern shots on his Instagram posts as cool as could be and noticing that you don't need to lead a bird nearly as much as. That pattern's going out there quick. But I'm glad he posted all those.
You a better shot?
I don't know. Maybe think about it at least.
Made me a better shot, hell.
Shit. Anything helps Rance.
Kelton, did you tell everybody to stay off your grass this morning?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you didn't.
His truck didn't get stolen this morning, so that's a plus.
Still shot him.
Yesterday I rode out to
Kyle had, 8 decoys because his dumb ass took off to the blind and decided, no, well, you just took off, didn't talk to nobody, and still shot unlimited ducks with 8 decoys this morning. So,
hell yeah.
So it just tells you,
Jenkins farm, buddy.
Little spreads work.
As long as you're where they want to be, I don't think it really matters.
Scott, did you have a good day? Did you get the fuck down and not look at them? Good. That's all you needed to do, man.
But they were crowding, right? They were like crowding Scotty. And I grabbed Scott and I pulled him over to him. I said, "Jackie, get your ass over here." I said, "Your asshole's sitting right in his face. Like, let it give him some room." You know, he's like this the whole time. And I kept saying, get down, don't fucking move." Well, fucking Scott couldn't get down because everybody's up against him. He had no room.
Gonna have to give Scotty some room.
Let the man shoot.
Well, I got enough. Nobody
for y'all. God almighty.
What kind of is the pits down there? I've got one of these days. So I'm eventually going to ride down there.
I told you 100 times.
It's about 7,000 miles down south, though. That's the problem.
This motherfucker used to pack his bag to come see me, and he lives 18 minutes down the road.
Yep,
absolutely. He thought it was too far.
Oh, my God, dude. I got you bring lunch, a couple cases of beer.
Well, beer's fine. We never eat.
Goodness. It's just so close yet so far away.
Yeah, it's pit blinds. A couple skids, but mainly with pits in the marsh in the back, so.
Oh, yeah. Smashing on them.
Yeah. It was good. But maybe it's been 100% traffic that whole I'm hunting. Butts up right next to the salt marsh. It's freshwater marsh. It's right up next to it. And, I mean, usually it holds good numbers of ducks. But, man, it's just traffic. It's been really good. It's been saving my ass, really. I've had some really good shoots past two Saturdays out of it. No complaints.
Great opening morning.
Yes, it was. A very cool fantastic season. Yeah, fantastic opener on both sides, really. Mm-hmm. Turned out really good. I'm impressed for the amount of birds.
That south side the other day with no blinds on the north side hunting at all. And we killed 4 the first morning and 5 the next morning. With the two of us. Him shooting a youth model 20 gauge. I'm not positive. That's neither here nor there. We could have absolutely killed smash on him, throttled on him last weekend. Yeah. With nobody shooting on the north side. So there's a good amount of birds.
That's a badass spot, though. Yeah. The Franzine's a badass spot. We've wanted a spot right there, and that thing holds good water.
We're going to get on this mallard hunt one of these days.
Yeah.
We're going to put together this pin-raised mallard hunt deal one of these days. It's to come. Y'all be watching our Instagram. I don't know which one, but just be watching.
Yeah. You're going to run that one. I'm not.
Damn it. Damn it.
Hey, Kelton, you want to say something? You want to say something to all your sponsors out there?
Kelton's about like Joe on a podcast.
Man.
Not up. It's just typical Kelton.
Yeah. Kelton doesn't say much. He's a damn good duck guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Always.
Kyle, you hunted.
You shouldn't have said that now.
I was being sarcastic.
Kyle, you hunted the 148?
No, he hunted the flats.
You hunted the 148? Did the pit blind hold?
He don't know because he said it rained so goddamn much.
shit.
Quentin, you want to tell us about your hunt?
Yeah, come over here, Q.
Come on over here.
Come on over here, Q.
You ain't got to sit here and watch us.
Yeah, you're the gentleman that do all the killing. Shit, I got to give up all my good spots to y'all just so y'all can shoot them.
I'll get you a beer.
I'm working. I'm running traffic, and you boys are shooting them. God almighty.
Yeah, we're going to start trafficking all kinds of stuff here before long.
Nothing.
No, it was good. I don't know if your patch job held because it was raining cats and dogs the whole time.
I'm glad Quentin came over here and represented some actual Webfoot apparel here. Neither of us have any of our shit on.
I was wet.
That's what happens when you buy your own.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
And you got the black and...
What? I didn't tell you to do that. I always say, give your shirts to me and I put on.
Because my people can't do black.
My shit's better than you should have gave it to me.
One of these days, I'm going to break that embroidery machine I've got out. It's going to be on.
Anyway.
One day.
Do you sell the shirts,
Brad?
No. We can't even
So look, I get like 500 caps a year and they're gone and that's about all I do. So if you get one. Yeah, I got like 30 in my truck right now.
Catch you
so
a cap.
If you're one of the 30 lucky, come get you a cap.
Yeah.
But you got to come hunt with me.
You
got to
come
one.
Early in the season.
I ain't shipping.
In that season, you can get a hat probably.
I got a label printer. What do you want out of me?
December, guys. Y'all give Justin Jenkins a ring.
Get that shit by a fucking Western Union fucking horse and buggy if I'm sending it.
Hey, I hope one of y'all has a torch because Porter keeps passing me birds. And
just
I,
so the pin
we
feathers.
Do
we
might need a set.
I'm looking,
to burn
I was
the
looking,
pig
looking
off this
Matt's got it going on.
I'm doing all I can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, my Uncle Leon used to save all his birds so he could have an excuse Porter to have me over to the house.
Thumbing those birds in the asshole the whole time was the problem.
Hey, if I left a single fucking feather on these sons of bitches, he'd send them back to me.
Thumbing cleaner bird asshole.
And so typically, if you want to hunt, you got to get in touch with one of my guides. We stay pretty busy. We do have some stuff available, but
this year's pretty solid.
Yeah, we do have some stuff.
Like,
yeah.
Get on it early.
Yeah, for sure.
Give me your number.
Yeah, 832-514-9073. And send me a text,
Brad,
or
Daniels.
Leave me a voicemail.
Yeah.
Because I get a lot of phone calls. But
he screens his calls even for me, so don't worry. I mean,
no,
that's totally opposite.
That's totally opposite.
My phone wasn't on me, man.
It's dead. It was dead.
It was dead. It was somewhere else.
Straight to voicemail.
I'm not a fan of this microphone. I'm giving it.
I got to share Brad my location because that'd just be easier. Rance can find me now. We don't even have to conversate because I'm the worst about trying to find. But if you just know where my phone is, I'm usually somewhere near it.
I guess I need to start mapping.
I'm going to do that right
where
now.
You're at.
That's what I'm doing right
now.
I
know where
sharing
you're at.
Sharing Brad my location.
But I may not want to know where you're at, though.
No, I want you to know where I'm at.
Okay.
That way you can come, you keep creeping in the middle of the night.
Instagram's Webfoot Addiction, Webfoot _addiction. We got an Instagram, we got a Facebook you can look up. But I've got guides, Kyle Hathaway, Kelton Graham, Quentin Evans. Give these
Quentin,
guys
you give
a
your
ring.
Number?
They're on Facebook. And these are the guys you're going to want to get in touch with. And me too, but if you really want to get on a hunt, you're going to have to get in touch with these guys. They're the ones that handle most of the stuff for me. I'm kind of as private as I can be, but I still take you hunting. I'm just real, real, real expensive.
I create the habitat. Don't call me. I don't answer my phone ever. At least I'm consistent.
Mine's usually dead.
Brand damn new, dead.
My phone's
what's
usually
up?
Dead.
What's these Modelo's at?
Yeah, I'll take one.
Hey, yeah, what's up with one of them old ranch was good?
Half.
You're going to have a
half
Miller Latte.
Please.
We're
so,
down to one Miller
when
Latte.
We were coming out, when we were coming out of the back, the D6 was probably hung
out
about
beer.
400 or 500 birds in it, but they were scattered in there, which was good, and they didn't even jump. They didn't want to get
I
up.
I can start drinking this thing
And the ranch was
egg.
Good. It was all traffic, though. Yeah. But, I mean, they were coming
There's
behind
teams.
Us, but they really started coming out
That's
of that salt marsh.
It was crazy. Early on, they just They passed through. Yeah. I could have hunted without decoys.
Yeah.
I think they just wanted to roll through. They wouldn't check up. It didn't matter.
Same
no
this morning.
Call, none of that.
When you have a north wind, and that's the weird thing about
yeah,
any
well,
blind.
That blind face is north, you know.
Yeah,
that's
but
what I'm saying.
Your
I was
face,
facing
you'll
north.
Still smash them.
No doubt, but it's just, it changes.
Come on now, Ethan.
It changes the way. No. It changes the way a bird goes into
oh,
land.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it
matters at that damn line.
Well, yours.
Oh, I can tell you 100%.
Yes.
There's no water behind it. There's no, I mean, they
yeah,
go to curl,
you,
and they're going to land away from you. It's no big deal.
You shoot
them
in the ass.
But you got to, 100%. We were shooting them in the ass a bunch this morning.
You shoot them in the ass. You just got
to
wait for
I shot them in the ass more because I had to win the same way.
We were lucky that they didn't have a clue that beaver dam was there.
I did have shit decoy. And I had some big ducks pull off that would decoy, but this morning, like, if they came and did this and looked at you, they weren't putting their feet out to sit. They were just coming to give you a look. So, I mean, you just shot them on the roll, you know?
No doubt.
I think that's what everybody did.
Was.
Yeah. That's what you did, Kyle? They decoy.
I mean, I had 8 decoys, so.
They weren't decoying.
That's your own fault, buddy.
Yeah, that's on you, buddy.
But, like, the difference is on, like, that H-pine when you're facing south. With the north wind.
It's money.
They're fucking landing like they're
But on the 148, when the wind's in your face, it's smash. Because they're going to come right over your head and over that cane.
20-something years in that exact spot.
Because Eli gets so mad at me. He'd be like, the wind's blowing right in my face.
I don't know if y'all
I don't care, go in there.
It was Brad's blind, Blake's blind, and my blind.
Yeah.
And my blind on the H levee was so bad. It was so miserable. Like, it was just... We put so much effort into just being terrible.
Yeah, but you could stand on the levee on that thing when
you could stand on
the
levee
them,
in a orange T-shirt and shoot ducks.
I think times were different back then.
It was
this wasn't that
it
damn
was
long,
that
ago.
Long ago.
The problem is how bad the hunting has gone to in a short period of time.
It's not bad now, but it's not.
Sure, but I've said for a long while that the damn flyway is changing. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard much out west, but
it's pressure. They go north.
Pressure. Yeah, a lot of birds are going. Everybody's
come off the
about
reservoir and go straight to it as soon as shooting.
So I guess I haven't even talked about the place at all. Like, so we have about 5,000 acres here. There's a 175 acre reservoir. We have at any given time an additional 400-ish acres of water that just stays wet. Just our fields that stay wet that have the ability to hold depth of water.
Yeah.
And then the rest is pasture ground and field, like, you know.
Few rice fields. We got the rice field north and all that. I bet that thing looks money right now if you got a half foot of rain.
But there's water running over the road everywhere.
Oh, you know what?
Tractor might be in the bio.
Rance's tractor might have slipped off into the bio.
Might be in the bio.
You got insurance?
Yeah, he's got insurance on that tractor. It's a 94 model. Of course it's still got insurance. The warranty's still on it. He's
2000.
Six more payments and he's got it paid off.
So Kyle, where were your ducks coming from?
Every which direction you can think of. There was no sense of direction.
How many guys you had this morning? Five.
Five.
Enough. Was it real wet in there?
So what is this bullshit? So what's going on?
I was done at like 7:15. You know, I only had three guys, so it was quick. This guy here, there won't be a bird in the flat tomorrow.
Are you really trying to talk shit to me right now?
Did you walk your ass into 148?
No, I'm the reason that you got here.
That is true. I only got here because my boy, but you're still like 10, so we love you, though.
No, there wasn't. Wasn't no sense of direction.
Did all y'all shoot him early this morning?
It was the first 15 minutes was silence.
Yeah.
It was wild. The first 15 minutes. And again, I'll give a little bit of the credit to clouds and rain, I could see we have this popping lights on the inside on. And as soon as we killed them, I was like, oh man, it's way brighter outside than I thought. There was still nothing flying. Waited. And it was every bit of 10, 12 minutes into shooting time. And then it was just da 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 148, ba da 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 H.
You probably could hear them.
I could hear every. We could hear every single.
Nothing would do it. Yeah. They'd fly through, but they'd fly through at Mach Jesus. They were
moving.
They'd still be 50 yards out.
Right.
And we're not going to call the shot on that. You know, I mean, even if they were 30 yards, they'd just fly through and they'd be gone before you could ever call a shot.
Yeah,
they
we had some came through fast.
They just weren't doing it. They were just in a state of shock this morning that, like, they didn't know what the hell.
They were also in the state of Texas.
The teal were like that, sure. But I had big ducks that, I mean, just did me nasty on the backside of my blind.
One big duck.
Oh, no shit.
I had I think I only shot like 9 or 10 teal. The rest of it was all big ducks.
Sure. I think we
gray ducks, pintail.
We shot our limit. And
whistlers.
We had one spoonie in that poor soul.
What was your bad count?
Yeah, whistlers, spoonbills.
But
whistlers, teal, and like three other big ducks.
Yeah.
We need to, in the next segment, get into this, what teal season is going to be next year and what it should be.
Yes, for sure.
What we've been proposed versus what it should be. Because I got a lot to say about that.
I got a whole lot to say about that.
Brad will go on for about 3 hours.
Yeah, I don't even want to get me started.
I'll take a little hot break real quick.
Yeah.
All right. Justin.
Back again.
Yeah. Me and Matt are back on
it. We're cleaning all those birds we hammered on this morning.
Yeah.
Hey, look at there. We got everything bagged up.
Oh, you ought to see the other bag. It's got the hearts and the gizzards.
But we'll get the job done until we make it to the house. It'll work. Birds up. Oh.
Just one more time, thank you, Justin, Brad, for letting us come and hunt with y'all.
Absolutely.
Hey, if somebody would throw in the comments, for real, if somebody would throw in the comments their, like, legit plucked duck recipe. My grandpa used to make it one way, and that's the only way I've done it for forever. So if anybody's got a good one that, like, has worked out, I'd be willing to try it, see it.
Hey,
right,
and if not,
use this,
Quentin.
Y'all drop in the comments. Drop your duck recipe.
Yeah, man. Drop your best duck recipe. I don't give a shit. Like drop every one of them.
We'll make a clip of that. Put it because the reels get more.
Sure, absolutely.
And we'll just post this.
Sure.
So everybody, Justin wants to know how to cook a duck.
I want
to
know how to cook. I want to cook. I want to know how you cook your duck. I cook a damn good duck.
Oh,
but I want to know how you cook your duck.
Medium.
All right.
How you cook your duck, Shy?
Fast and furious.
But anyway, going on to just a couple of questions. And, you know, Brad, Justin, y'all have been doing this a long time.
Question. Who's got those lung darts?
Kilogram does.
Bum, dude. Yeah. Bum.
I need a beer. Somebody bring me a beer, please.
First one of the day, man.
Anybody got a Miller?
Can we get a beer over here, please?
It's Miller Delight, noon on the maybe. Dot, man.
Justin, hey, got
oh, never mind. Justin.
Never mind. He's, or Modelo. Oh, look. He's got a Miller.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank look you, at sir. This.
Anyway, Brad, I just wanted to, being in Southeast Texas, it's a very, the weather here can be very volatile during our seasons, depending on if we're going to have a cold season, if it's going to be hot, like right now, I mean, opening of big duck season, I'm in wearing a bathing suit, you know.
For sure, I was in underwear.
Yeah, you were. Wore underwear today while you're hunting. Like, is there anything, like, and then it ends so early before it gets cold here. Like, I just kind of want to pick your brain on, like, you know, what you would think you're.
We've said for forever it'd be cooler if the season was pushed back a hair, but I've also been notified that the birds pair up when they go back north and we can't hunt them too long on the ass end. But we get so many birds in February.
Yeah. I just kind of want to hear what your ideal, you know, situation is, or if you think that what we have right now is ideal.
Big duck season's solid just because of the ecology of it, but our teal season.
Our teal season
is where our big, cool flush birds.
Yeah, for sure. But what were you talking about, though, at first? What were you asking?
Really just your ideal living here. Like, is there anything that you would like to see?
If you could make the season, right? If you could set the dates personally. And say, hey, here's what's the most.
Just from your experience of, I mean, hunting for.
For years, I mean, November has always been a really good a month for us. I mean, always. It's usually really good November.
We get a weird December lull.
Yeah, you get a December lull. You shoot some geese, and you have some good hunts here and there. And then January, you get a big push of green wings, and you get some fresher pintails and shit like that. And then it usually finishes really strong. Right now, I mean, we're seeing ducks and we're killing ducks, but I'm not seeing the birds that we typically see. And honestly, I'm glad we got this rain. We got real dry for a little bit, just to freshen everything up. But I think weather has a lot to do with it, but weather doesn't. I mean, I've been shooting ducks on this coast for almost 30 years in 75-degree weather. I mean, it's just our weather we're here. We just need weather up north. We need something up north to happen to push these birds. And we used to get all these big front lines. Think about all these front lines you used to get. You see a front line and you'd see it coming. Mm-hmm. When's the last time in the past few years have you seen a front line, just a black front line? You're like, here it comes.
Like a movie, through. Like movie scene yeah. shit. Yeah. Like yeah. Independence.
How many rolls did you get a year when you're 30, duck 45 hunting minutes when fronts were coming out. In?
Beautiful.
I had it happen they're everywhere. To me in 2017, but it almost felt like a fluke thing. Felt like one of those once-in-a-lifetime deals.
You remember that one at the pump shed that day that rolled over the top of us? And it rolled. Like one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life. Rolled over
watching
us.
Birds, and it feels like something out of a TV show, you know, where I'm like, man, I've seen this before, you know. But I was like, we killed our birds so fast. We shot a four-man in like 14 minutes. And then after that, it was just we're sitting there in amazement watching them spiral down
from high. They're high. You know they're migratory.
They're migratory. The north wind like without birds. Flapping a wing, right? And then they're starting to see the wetlands, and then they just come out of the
and atmosphere. You just don't see, though. I mean, it was normal to see, you know, those happen all winter long. Even in, you know, October.
Like three-quarter-inch rains.
Yeah.
Not 14-inch rains or no rain.
Yeah. So what y'all have? How much rain y'all get?
6 inches.
6 inches this morning.
So let me ask you this, Brad, crazy. Justin, both of y'all. In my limited experience, and I've been hunting for about 10 years kind of on my own where I wasn't, you know, with my dad or something like that. But of those 10 years, you know, not a lot of that was really focusing on, you know, why are we having success and all that stuff. Not until probably about the time I turned like 22, 23, I'm starting to say like, okay, well, you know, starting to pay attention to conditions and all these other things and being more observant and not just going out there and hoping I kill birds, right? So in my 10-year experience, I feel like, and again, I haven't been, like, collecting data over the years, but I feel
we
like.
Have. Year, we have, and that's what's awesome. Year, we've been really.
I think this is kind of going back to Porter's point. Like, year after year, it almost feels like the winners are pushing further and further back.
If we get one.
If we get one. That's the thing, that's is if right. we get you know, one.
It seems like those
better for winter and cows.
Early December.
Yeah.
You know, and we're sweating our ass off in November, and we're thinking, what the hell is going on?
Well, and it's not that we're not getting a winter. We're just getting a super late winter. Like, years ago in March, it was like March 14th, I was at work, and we had 4 inches of snow. Or, you know, it's just.
It's weird weather, which is normal down here. But
it is.
Still.
And that's
there's zero consistencies above us what pushes our birds to the coast.
Yeah.
I mean, what ducks we're getting right now are ducks that have imprinted their babies to this area at this time of this year, and that's what we're hunting right now.
There's a consistency in like
a lot of adults are being shot right now. How many young birds are being shot
when we start seeing speckle bellies, and the day of August or late July, that last week, last week of August, first week of September, we start seeing teal. And that's what I'm worried about, teal season getting cut down to 9 days. We get a narrow window there.
That's kind of what another topic I wanted to talk to y'all about was the teal season, you know, if it gets changed.
It's a narrow window that we have already, and to make it narrower, I mean, it could be to where bird number bag limit could be brought down to 4 instead of bringing our days down to 9.
So, yeah, let's jump right into that with the teal. Seems like, do you think that it's more of a, that we have a lot of success being down here on the coast, that the teal like to migrate through here, that we feel like there's more teal than there actually are? Is it the numbers that you think are driving that?
Their numbers.
I feel like season long, teal are our most predominant bird.
All season. That's our numbers bird. That's how we get numbers. Most of our birds are big duck season.
For sure. I mean, green wings, blue wings, teal season is 99.9% blue wings. But, like, on them wanting to go to 9 days.
Never kill a green wing in teal season again.
Yeah, for sure. But them going to 9 days is bad deal, because you got to understand these blue wings are still coming through the way they're coming through, southeast.
Yeah. I haven't seen
Texas
a change. I haven't seen
southwest
a decline.
Louisiana,
I know the numbers tell the tale.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a decline.
Well, so they're doing May counts. They count these blue wings in May. In the Dakotas and in Canada, how many blue wings are on the Gulf Coast of Louisiana and Texas in May? I can show you thousands. They're saying it's 100,000 birds missing on their bird count for them to go to the 9 days, saying we're missing 100,000 birds. Your 100,000 birds are down here, and there's way more than that in May. There's birds that are pair up here in April and May, and they'll be here all the way into the first week of June, and then they'll head up north.
They could cut our teal number to 4 and add in a single wood duck and a single squealer.
Yeah,
well, make the 6 still.
Look, and for being that anyway, for being a guide, I know, like, for you're really needing every day that you can. Absolutely. I mean, that's your livelihood. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's way too expensive. And 9 days. This. I mean, you got to think about habitat too. You know, for the past 20 years, we created this,
and it's about making habitat.
And the guys that are saying 9 days that do this, you know, you got to understand there's spots that are being hunted for blue wings and during September only. There's habitat being created just for those birds to come through that 30 days, and that habitat will not be there because the average man will not be able to afford it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And look, they're saying like 9 consecutive days that they want to hunt, but like if you're going to move it, I would assume, being a guide, you would want it to be weekends. Why don't they just do it 3 weekends. In September? Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Anyway.
Like, because I know it's a lot harder to fill – guide like spots during the week. Most people work.
We do teal season though. We do hunt.
Yeah, we stay busy during teal season. Yeah. But I mean, it's only a short.
Yeah, yeah. Those birds are gone anyway.
You understand? They're not just going to be affecting, you know, the habitat and the birds. You got to understand how much the economy thrives on the amount of people that come to the Louisiana and Texas coast just to chase these blue wings for 16 days. Yep. We got 16 days. That's it. You know, hey, drop it back to 4 birds and no one's ever going
to cut the guy that wants to bring his kid out there.
That was going to be my next.
Go to 4.
My next thing was, why don't they just, instead of 6.
They consider days in the field, you know, on harvest. And that's where they're pushing that. But you just give us 4. Give us 4 bucks, 4 blue wings or 4 teal during teal season, and no one's going to have an issue. But y'all need to come do counts.
Make it 3 teal
on the coast.
A wood duck and a squealer.
Because no one's doing bird counts on the coast. Who's doing bird counts on the coast? Nobody.
Nobody. That's what I actually wanted to – dude, I definitely do think that they need to open up a squealer season.
A squealer, yeah, or just add it. I'm telling you, add it to teal season.
That's something they don't count on the
– And they're neighborhood birds. They'll go hang out in the neighborhood and get fed, and they'll fly out around here, and they're just going to keep populating.
It was unreal. They were everywhere this year.
Brad moved down to a neighborhood down in the south of Chambers County 10 years ago, 12 years ago, wherever that was. And in the course of the time he lived there, I'd never seen birds just be so – wild birds just be so in the community. Just shit piles of them.
Justin,
just
so I work care. I work like on the river. And, like, those ships will tie off, and it's, like, 100 feet of, like, you know, tie-off rope and shit like that. And they're acting like gulls. They just – I'm talking, you can't put another – like on the Neches
no
River.
Shit.
Like it's so funny. It looks like blackbirds yeah, on a, I mean, a and, power line.
And then
a,
that's another there. One. We had talked about bald eagles at the very beginning of not seeing them when I was a kid. We didn't have squealers everywhere here when I was a kid. Yeah. We didn't have squealers yeah, when no. I was a kid. I don't remember. I remember Dave Wilcox. We were riding around one day, and I went, "Oh my God, what is that?" And he said, "That's a fulvous tree duck." Never in my life had I ever seen one. I was probably 12, 14 years old.
Thought it was a skinny chicken, huh?
Yeah.
Long-legged one.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this real quick. Is it? I know that, you know, we've traveled a little bit to go and hunt birds, and, you know, just being in the day and age that we are now, you see a lot of outfitters open up, and they seem like nowadays they kind of come and go. A lot of I don't know if I should say they're riding the wave or maybe they're just trying to make an extra buck, but you get a lot of inexperienced, and I hear more and more stories every day about people having bad experiences with guides. And but I feel like, you know, like Jenkins and you guys have been here forever. You guys have
we're creating a habitat, man. It's habitat for hunters, a habitat for birds, yeah, we can get away a with habitat it, for you know. People,
right.
man.
And so you're habituating birds and healthy, you know,
relationships and environments and yeah, man, right. everything. Here. Everything can coexist. Yeah.
For you to also
we don't weekday
right?
hunt.
So it's a mutual thing for you to create these habitats Absolutely. For these birds to come down so that you can then succeed. Has anybody ever reached out to, like, and I mean like government entities, the people that are polling these birds and said like, hey, we want to come to your property and we want to have eyes on it or we want your feedback.
Nobody's ever reached Never. Out, but man, Never. I'd sure like to participate.
Never.
So
I would 100%
participate. The point that I'm kind of getting at is
I got a lot of open mornings.
Is that there's
I don't have a real job.
Yeah, well. Well, that's good. That's called living the dream, brother.
Yeah. Well, I farm.
American dream.
But it's not a real job.
No, you're retired in 2021, dude.
Retired.
Retired.
Yeah, when he graduated college.
Yeah. The point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, that all these numbers are being taken. And like, now, for example, we've just come off of the presidential election, right? And you hear all this stuff about these polls, right? Sure. You're like,
you ever get polled?
Fuck do I know that's ever taken once? A poll?
I never got polled.
So, exactly. And I
pulled Mexico one time. That was a whole different deal.
There's tons and tons of listeners right now that are thinking the same thing. Like, I don't know anybody that's ever taken a damn poll. So, you know, like, are they, like, do you think they're, that they could benefit from having.
Yes, statistic numbers. And that's what thing, like, Brad, I make sure that he keeps all of our shooting numbers and all of our per weekend numbers and everything. And it's, I mean, it's numbers for us, but I think over the course of years, you know, we'll be able to really put together some cool-ass data. And I'd willingly participate in counts. I would no shit go sit and go count and keep a count on. We started having big flocks here 3-4 weeks ago. And I'm not joking. If it weren't for the bald eagle, they'd have been just been big chilling. But there were a lot of birds. And I'd have loved to go get an estimated count on that.
Well, it almost
when
seems,
they got here,
it almost what, seems like
that way the data could be across the board. I mean, if we could all participate in it, you know,
it almost seems like a wasted resource, right? When you have these guide services that are well established in the area and they know how many birds they have to not poll them,
sure, you know, and say, exactly, hey, and participate
let's go reach
in
out
a
to the local resource.
Has it been worse or better? Right,
right,
right.
And see what
boots
they're seeing.
Boots on the ground for real.
Right. Yeah, but you can do that, and you need data for sure. But like in these outfitters, I mean, it's season to season. I mean, you never know. You never know. You know, some years are better than others. Some guys, you know, 3 miles down the road will whip them all season, and you'll have a slow season.
There's
I mean, it's just kind of part of it. But
about.
But like the habitat deal, you having it. But I mean, it's. Like this area on Outfitters, I mean.
There's a hole like 4 miles from here, just right up there that Mickey Phelan and them hunt, that they shoot wood ducks and mallards out of like it's Arkansas.
Yeah. I know, I've hunted there.
Crazy.
And we don't see them 4 miles right
there.
Here.
Yeah.
So habitat differences. It's
God
right
almighty.
There. It's right fucking there. We can hear them shooting.
I know, I've hunted.
Nothing but green in it.
I know.
So what I'm, all I mean by that is the ecology of changes.
We shot a shit ton of wood. Well, we shot our limit of wood ducks there.
I love wood ducks.
Oh, dude, the best eating.
And I mean, just the videos of them just falling in, it looks like a damn timber Arkansas hunt.
Yeah.
It's in Hancomer, Texas, if you're, what do they call that?
Hancomer?
Cottonwood, Texas.
Hey, and if you're a listener now and you don't already realize this, we all want to conserve this resource. And
absolutely,
have
man. I want this. I've got a 9-year-old little boy that is eaten alive with it.
And full circle, and I think you talked about this at the top of the episode, you know, Ramsey Russell, he made a lot of great points about, this is completely out of my realm personally, but like safari hunting. There's a lot of people that have a problem with that, but it brings a lot of value to the region and a lot of value to
you
the
ask
region.
Fred DeBeer, that guy would tell you that we got – he got elephant problems like we got pig problems.
Yeah, but you're talking about resource. Okay, money. People are paying to go shoot these big game hunts. You know how much money is being spent on habitat and duck hunting on the Texas Louisiana coast? Mm-hmm. It'll blow your mind.
Yep.
It'll blow your mind. So all that money is coming through here like this. What's the difference? I mean, why aren't we trying to do something? Nobody's doing shit. They're really not. We are. I mean, there's other people that are. There are people that are putting their money where their mouth speaks, and they're creating habitat.
I don't know how much money
hunted.
I put into creating habitat just for passion, pure passion. We talk it through, and we go, okay, what are we going to do with this field? It's hundreds of acres and hundreds of – what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with that? How are we going to snake that? What are we going to do with this? It's purely to create the best habitat we possibly can.
I think Jeff Coates sent me a Snapchat every single day this week of him working on ponds.
Absolutely.
So let's think about that for a second. You know, myself as a blue collar guy, you know, and I know that, okay, they tell me my tax dollars are going towards, or not my tax dollars necessarily all of them, but like sure. When I go and buy my hunting license and my stamp and all that, a portion of that is going into wildlife restoration, right? What does that mean? What work is being done in the emergent marsh and the coastal prairies?
I have faith that they're putting it into,
you know, and it, you, well, you
wildlife refuges,
that,
but
right?
They're not putting it in any private land stuff.
So you put
that
in,
I can see.
What work is being done?
And this 5,000 acres, Ducks Unlimited years ago came in and helped us put our pumps in the 90s. And we had some contract stuff with them, and then ever since, it's just I'm not saying it's crickets.
We're growing up.
We also haven't been looking.
Projects all the way from here, all the way to the coast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was DU easements all the way through.
That 175 acres that we already don't hunt.
Yeah, I've got to hunt like two different old DU projects on Smith Point and off 1985.
Those are gone though. Like, yeah, there's the whole place you see DU project signs everywhere. Right. There's no such thing there.
I wonder why, and maybe I kind of feel like the Southeast Texas coast is definitely the redheaded stepchild of the waterfowl game.
Absolutely.
Especially after traveling, I've hunted Oklahoma and Kansas, Montana, North Dakota, you know, and seeing that shit up there, you know, to down here.
Projects. But, I'm sure I haven't hunted all the way up there. I'm sure there's established projects.
Yeah, we're paying
there
for
are,
it.
You know, and they have a cool and interesting way that they're doing it. You know, now they're getting more young people involved with college projects and stuff like that, and they have just
need be
army
for that college money needs to go.
But you know, it's just like I said, from my perspective, it's nice to think that they're using our dollars, and they say that they're using our dollars, but you know, you want to see like what. And I'm not by any means trying to shit on DU.
Not at all.
We don't know.
Sound like that whatsoever.
That's just it. We don't.
But I'm curious. I'm curious myself.
Hearsay.
I don't see
we
any of it down
we
here.
We don't know. There's nothing that's showing where any money is going. I mean, and there may be something
in my
you know, and be able to look.
My first rice crop
going,
went in the ground in 2008.
No one talks about it.
Well, I don't. I just know we've been hunting the public land, the public marsh around here for 13, like.
You longer than me, and in my 10 years, it's been the same marsh every year. Like, and I guess it's just more for me a matter of seeing it and saying what's different, because like you're
active and you're obviously not seeing it. Yeah. I'm active. I'm not seeing it.
A lot of the time in public, and you know, in the season when it's open, and I'm
Brad's
not,
talking
there's
about
no
opening
change,
up a different division.
I'm wondering what this conservation is. We talk about it and we say, oh, we're putting money back into conservation. Okay, well, what is conservation? To me, it seems like for DU at least that they're just roping stuff off and holding it. You know, and they're saying, okay, well, DU's going to acquire this asset and just no one's going to hunt it, and we're just going to hold birds there. And that's all it's going
to
be.
Kills migration. That's all that
areas,
is.
Though. There's nothing wrong with having places
that never
get hunted.
You definitely need that.
The natural migration, those birds never had human interaction before that. Those birds never had human interaction, so their natural migration pattern is to go past there.
Yes.
And if you fill up a field full of whatever the hell you do with it, and they don't go past there, you're quashing the natural migration that brings birds to the hose.
But there's three or four different big outfitters around here, including y'all, that like will have designated areas for birds to rest, to do whatever.
Oh my God. You're crazy.
Don't touch it.
I mean, you
got to have habitat for them to just be
somewhere they never get shot at.
I'm going to ask you something now, and I just want you to come off the top with it. First thing that comes to your mind, or as quickly as you can think of your answer. With the state of waterfowl hunting now, and as trendy as it's gotten since the conception of Duck Commander and all the social media and everything that's kind of driving it now, and you're getting a lot of new young hunters, a lot of guys that are inexperienced, but you got a lot of guns out there, right? So from north to south, those birds are getting beat on.
Pressure.
What do you think is the solution to sustaining a sustainable migration pattern for the birds?
It's a hard one to answer.
I mean, there's really no...
There's no way to kill the want to and the drive, and that's cool, too.
Yeah, you want that. That's your future. Yeah, that's exactly. The future of the business, the future of the hunting, it's the future of the conservation. Like,
what are the number of hunters
there's
there?
Nothing wrong with having the new hunters and stuff. That's what you want, you know? Pressure is pressure, you know, yeah. And it's been happening for a long time. You got to think, you know, 100 years ago, those guys would go to a pond down on the coast. They'd go shoot 1,000 birds
in flannel.
One spot. And the whole deal was, you know, they'd shoot a spot out. So it's not like it hasn't been happening for a long time. Right. It's just, you know, what happens is you've lost habitat. So everyone gets smaller and smaller in the areas that you can publicly hunt. The private areas, people who are having leases. The fields of people not that used to farm that aren't farming
anymore. We've been pretty lucky. We've lost a little bit of development. In Chambers County, we lost on the west side some old rice farming acreage to development, but I don't know how many birds were ever.
Development
right there
is the driving this force, right? Is what's going on
up into the China
years,
marsh and all that until it starts getting consumed. It's fine.
I think development's the driving force.
Yeah, and that's people don't think about like everybody's jobs and they're building, and they definitely don't think about
anything. It's a business.
I mean, look at Mount Bellevue.
How many years of this do we have?
Yeah.
How many more years?
It's
a sad thing to talk about.
For sure. I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, it's development and ever existing change.
My opinion on it is that ducks they're very resilient.
Very.
And if you think that ducks are going to migrate and act the same way they did 100 years ago, you're out of your
mind. 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. These birds have been doing this.
They're migrating different areas, different flowers.
If you shorten the period and you say 50.
Our only little history that we know exists.
Years ago, you're out of your mind. Because
you think teal weren't migrating 1,000 years ago when we weren't here?
So the amount of change that we've seen in ducks' behaviors, your ability to work birds in and do all of that with the advancements that we've had in you know, our decoy realism, our patterns, and our calling, and everything. Yeah.
We're really good at killing. Yeah. Maybe less hunters, but we're better at killing.
You got to get good at it.
If you want to strip it down to bare bones, like we as a human race have evolved and adapted to kill everything.
Yep.
So that being said, what do we need? We need more habitat to create more ducks.
Well, I think what I've seen in, like I said, ducks are resilient, right?
Sure.
Do you think that naturally a duck migrating from the north down to the Texas coast, do you think that their first choice was to go and raft up 2 miles off the coast?
No, not necessarily. You got to think about floodplains. I mean, these birds are flying down waterways. I mean, a lot of these flyways are off of major river systems and landmarks.
The little
certain landmarkers these birds are flying off of.
The waterways in general.
When you're up that high, you see these waterways, and that's what those birds are flying. So, I mean, if certain areas are wet one year, that's where those birds will go.
I was saying the only visible water that there is that one big pocket that I created.
Yep.
So, you know, whether it's creating habitat to shoot them or whether it's creating habitat to keep them, you got to create the habitat.
You got to have, period. You got to have both,
now,
really.
Have you guys noticed, I don't know if you guys do any fishing.
A little bit.
Do any offshore fishing?
A little bit.
There's a lot of times when I go offshore that I see just piles and piles and piles of birds rafted up off the coast. And I can't help but think to myself that probably isn't where they want to be. I think that's...
Salt water is not drinkable.
Kind of seems like they're hiding from us. You know what I mean? And that to me speaks to the fact that
either keep going south,
the resiliency of saying like, hey,
I don't think those
butterflies travel
from.
A
lot of birds migrate that Gulf of Mexico, and you can go down to High Island in September or right now. I mean, you can go to High Island in the mornings. You can sit right off the coast, yeah,
they keep going.
And you can watch those birds come over out of that marsh off that intercoastal and shoot out towards that Gulf, and then go and head towards Mexico. That's just a, you know, that's just a landmark.
You think they go down
the birds
coast,
that are
you
coming
fly
further
the coast and know the coast?
They fly
they across it.
They do both. They do both.
I think of a lot of birds that we hold rest out there.
A lot of, you know, a lot of the bays. Our, you know, seeing, you know, our bay system, no one ever really hunts it much. Yeah. And a lot of ducks do raft in there. You know, you'll get teal, gadwall, pintails get out there heavy.
We've shot more greenheads, and I mean, like our pintail numbers have been cool for the last decade, but more greenheads in the last couple of years, randomly.
Yeah, we used to never shoot mountains. Never. I mean, every once in a while, but.
Yeah, not like we have in the last couple.
No, not at all.
And that hadn't been by weather.
No, it's just birds.
That's what
that
makes
are,
you think.
Just, well, I mean,
just our number tallies
through,
and all that kind
yeah.
of stuff. Well, supposedly mallards are the most populous of the migrating ducks, correct?
Correct.
That's what everybody wants.
70 or 80 million of them or something. Like, I mean, we I don't know, that might be higher. You know?
I mean,
well, yeah, we don't care. We just
hey,
want
I'll
the next duck.
Something else, though, that just flips this whole conversation on its head is when you go up to Arkansas and Oklahoma and you see people actually starting to create loads and loads of farmland just for ducks, not for the purpose of farming, right?
Right.
And you're up there. I went up there in conservation season 2 years ago.
Makes you wonder where they made their money.
I wonder. I'm like, man. I said, dude, I was like, man, I just came from Southeast Texas coast, and we ain't got no birds, you know? Right. But I go up to Arkansas, you know, in conservation snow goose season, and this is months, you know, not months, but, you know, week or two after we've closed, and there's just piles of ducks. They never made it past that point, I feel like. May have been the year that we had, you know, may have been dependent on the weather that they didn't get pushed down.
The guys in Arkansas, the first couple of times I went there and all the snow geese that they say
they
used to come here.
Yeah,
they say the damn whole coastal prairie used to be covered in snow geese, and now they just never come past a certain point.
They stay in northeast Arkansas, really. Heavy.
That area. All right. I mean, tell the dove don't migrate like
well, they still plant
when you have the valleys
rice.
Full of
we
fucking grain.
I will say though, this was the best dove season this year that I've had in.
We
I
still,
can't tell
we're
you
still
how
carrying
long.
A good chunk right
I
now.
Had, we had a really good opener, White Wings, and then it shut down here. But
really, I had like 7 hunts that were just like stupid.
That's good.
I just, you know, I feel like we being this far south probably have a lot more to complain about. But
in the event you're feeding birds, like again, yeah. Naturally, 1,000 years ago, when it was natives that were here, there wasn't. They may have been grown. Well, they wouldn't grown.
We've just lost so much habitat.
Yeah, there just wasn't.
And then the average man has just gotten, and it's just gotten smaller and smaller. These people can hunt, and I think pressure is really killing us. I mean, everybody's like, golly, you know, you think about it, this county had an opening day, there'd be thousands of birds shot on one day on this place. You know, it's pretty wild for one county to do that. And it's just, you know, it's pressure. You know, you can only, these birds are going to withstand so much. Think about how smart these ducks are now. We've made them smart.
Yeah. We have, too. And, you know, you say that, like, the man is not what the man used to be. But the population has exploded on the coast, you know.
Yeah.
All the way from Katy to Houston and just Beaumont. We just have so many more people and such. So much less habitat, so it's just.
Well, just
it
think
seems like it seems like it's kind of bottlenecking.
Well, look, I love me some Elon Musk, but I don't know if you guys have seen that video of them down there on the coast in that beautiful, luxurious marsh that they're popping them badass rockets off at.
Oh, SpaceX.
It is a beautiful piece of marsh. And
Boca Chica Boulevard, baby.
There's not
that's
a duck within 10 miles of that.
No,
yeah.
That's down,
I mean,
on,
like
down
that.
On our coast.
I mean, it's just development.
Boca Chica Boulevard. That's Freddie Brooks. Here's a little shout out to Freddie Brooks.
You'll be as smart as Porter every
pop,
year.
Pop, pop.
One way or another. Especially
y'all
with,
don't know the ambassador of Cutting
just
Texas.
Development, you know. Things
yeah.
we're doing.
I'll
tell you that last teal that came into the decoys, he would have been there regardless of a rocket launching off or not.
It hung out. It was just chilling with us. That was in the decoys. It landed next to him. Then it got up and landed on the other side of the decoys.
But no, it was fun to kind of pick y'all's brains on some things, man. And I'm glad we got to sit down and talk.
We're mostly worried about the future of waterfowling in general. Being able to hunt, being able to make sure that there's habitat and places to go. Because, I mean, there's a whole other generation. Hell, there's people being born every day, and those cats got to enjoy it too.
For sure.
You can't stop something from screwing.
I think we never. As fathers and older men.
I think Donald Trump just stopped a bunch of people from screwing. Which is great.
They weren't.
That's how he's going to make America great again.
Able, the people that he stopped from screwing weren't able to reproduce anyway. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate y'all sitting with us. And thanks again, Brad.
Yeah,
Justin,
absolutely.
Thanks
enjoyed
for bringing
it.
Us out absolutely, this morning. Man. We really enjoyed our time on Jenkins.
Webfoot addiction, man.
Hey, yeah, webfoot addiction.
If you guys are looking to come and have a hunt down here on the coast,
call Justin Jenkins.
Don't call me.
Check him out on Instagram.
We'll tag him Instagram. On Instagram. Y'all check out our Instagram. Check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/BayouDragons, if you want to watch the show. Appreciate y'all tuning
in. Cool, man. Thank y'all.
Appreciate y'all.